The deen always, from day one, spread through the youth, as you already know. That the first male to enter Islam was a 10-year-old, 9-year-old, Ali radiallahu anhu. The first spreading of the deen took place through one 18-year-old who was sent to Medina. It's a very thought-provoking. All avenues had been closed and there was the slightest opening. These people came and met Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At that moment, they requested, after they had taken bay'ah, that send us someone to Medina. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of all of his close companions, who were some of the major Sahaba, he chose an 18-year-old. And I'm sure you know what his name was. Yes? Who knows? Okay. So he chose an 18-year-old, Mus'ab bin Umair. And we just take it as a historical event. And he went there, and next year, 70 people came into Bay'ah. 1 year effort. 13 years Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself had made effort in Mecca, and how many people had come to Islam. In 1 year, an 18-year-old brought 70 people. These are 70, there must be more, 70 who came to take bay'ah. Okay. Now, this is the beginning of the Madinan period. Now, in the end of the Madinan period, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been given the bashara of the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is in his terminal illness. And he gets the news that the Romans are attacking the northwestern frontiers. So he gets together an army of Muslims to go and fight against the Romans. They've never fought the Romans. This is a superpower. That's the only superpower left, because the Persians had been destroyed, you know, Gulliver, the Rome. So for this army, he says, the Amir, the leader of this army, is going to be another 18-year-old, Osama bin Zaid. And the companions objected, or, you know, or shouldn't even say that, suggested that, yeah, this is very strange. We have people like Umar ibn al-Khattab, we have Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, we have so-and-so, and we have Ali, and so on and so forth. And you are, he says, no. Because he is going to fight where his father was sent. He was sent to fight against. And he insisted on that. Okay. And there were four things, in this four things that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did, in the last 2 days, if you remember, there were few things. One, people came to him and he would always ask, somebody said to him about the Yahud and the Nasara, and he said, he cursed them. He said that they built masajids over the graves of their prophets, of their messengers. And that led to, obviously, shirk. So he said, don't do that. So just with that one statement, he ensured the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that my followers will not commit shirk. They will not elevate me to the state that the Christians and Jews have done. Okay. Next, every time he would come out of his sort of stupor, he would say, as-salah, as-salah, as-salah. So just with that one word, he assured the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That a person who preserves his salah will obviously follow the other, fulfill the other rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because whoever abandons salah does not take care of any other rights, because it's the most fundamental of rights. The third thing he said, take care of people who are in your hand. In other words, who are the people in your hand? Were the women and the slaves. What was the status of the slaves and the women? The lowest in the strategy, in the strata of social structure. So if you took care of them and fulfilled their rights, what did that mean? You would obviously fulfill the rights who are people who are higher up in the hierarchy. So it took care of the rights of the ibad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the lowest. And the last thing he used to keep saying is, as Osama's army left. And what did that mean? Means, have they gone out to protect the frontiers of Islam? So just four things that he did. The aqidah, he made sure it remained, the rights of Allah remained, the rights of people remained, and that the protection of Islam. So his life, and since we talk about lessons from his life, is so full, just little events or little things that you see. And then what happened? Osama's army went and camped outside because they knew he was so sick he didn't want to leave. And then, of course, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam left to his Lord. And then Osama came back. And then people said to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, change the Amir. He is inexperienced, he is young. He said, no. How can Abu Bakr change someone who Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? But he said, then what, look at this, then what did he, so this is the ittiba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That it made sense to change it. He said, in this army there is Umar ibn al-Khattab under him, he said, yes. And there is so-and-so under him, he said, yes. Then he went to Osama, this is the Khalifa saying, I want you to leave, but do I have your permission to keep Umar with me and not go in the army? To be my counselor and my helper. So this is, you know, the heart. And this is, we were talking about this youth that throughout our history, Muhammad bin Qasim, throughout you see, it is the youth. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stressed the importance of the tarbiyah of, because this is the productive years. You know, we wait till people like, I'm older than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, you know. And that's bonus time. This is not the time to be doing work. You know, you should be ready to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The time to do work is when you are young. And young people think now 20s and 30s, even earlier than that. What are our children doing at 15 and 16, 18? They're playing video games and they're playing on their phones, you know. We have to keep that in mind. And at every age, we have a responsibility. And it has to be fulfilled. You know, as this is the purpose of our life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already told us that there is one maqsad in your life. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. This is the ubudiyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is why you have been created. If you fulfill this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you peace, dignity, honor, safety, security, sakina, happiness in the dunya. In the qabr, at the time of maut. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has even given that scene in the Quran. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and one who says that Allah is وَالَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُوا عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوعَدُونَ. That those people who say Allah is my Rabb, and then they are firm on it, istiqama, throughout their life, in their businesses, in their homes, when they're alone, when they're in public, when they're in difficulty, when they're in ease, always obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, looking for His pleasure, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the angel will come down to them at the time and said, have no fear, have no regret. We were your companions in the dunya and we will ease you into the akhirah. So then in the Jannah, as we have the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that it will expand, the graves will expand. You know, and you feel the breeze of Jannah, and it becomes like, you know, a preview of what is coming. And then, of course, on the Yawmul Qiyamah, the honor that Allah will grant and the Jannah that comes with it. So, all of our lives has to be with that goal in mind. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make everything else follow. Whatever is written for you will come to you. You have to make a reasonable effort for it? Yes. What is a reasonable effort? Just something in a halal way. That, yes, it counts as an effort. You want to make a balance, so dividing it by threes, then one third for yourself and your family, one third for your occupation, one third for the deen. But that's not a true balance, because as someone said, work as for this dunya as much, as you plan to live here, and work for the akhirah as much as you plan to live there. So that is the true balance. Like every time you say, you know, oh, you give so much time, you are the masjid mein hai, ye hai. There should be balance in your life. So you should, the response should be, can you tell me what is balance? The true balance is this, that there is an eternal life, whatever you dedicate to that. Now, and what you dedicate to the dunya also is positive for that, as long as it is within the sharia of Rasulullah, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the way of Rasulullah. So yes, your spending time with your family is part of that, giving the rights of your wife and your children and the tarbiyah. Earning halal is also part of that. So all of that is also part of your deen. When we use the word dunya, as you know, it essentially means that which distracts you from Allah. Distracts you from akhirah. But if you're doing it knowing that Allah is watching, that Allah is hearing, that He sees your glances, that He knows your thoughts, what is coming next, and what you are saying and what you are doing, then that, with that consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's all part of your deen. And that's how you make 24 hours of our life as ubudiyah. So we all have to try, and because we are all weak, we are human beings, you know. Kullu bani Adam khata, every child of Adam is a sinner. وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the best of those sinners are those who immediately turn back to Allah. Because we will make mistakes. Every day we make mistakes. Some that we know, some that we don't even know. But as soon as we recognize what does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teach us, immediately turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Istighfar and tawbah. And he says, follow every bad deed with a good deed, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's our natural thing. You know, we do these things in our dunyawi effect, you know, affairs. The same thing. I made a mistake, quickly correct it. You know, you make a wrong turn driving, you immediately correct it. You know, same thing. That we have to be conscious that at all times we are under the microscope. Everything is being recorded. You know, in America, we know those things because we have, you know, the Homeland Security recording everything. Where did you go? The phones tell them where you are traveling. They tell you where, you know. So sometimes we keep our location things off on the phones because every time they know exactly where they're going. Who's saying what? Even the TVs now, the Samsung TVs, if you're doing, they record you from the voice because they have voice recognition that sent, this came out, Samsung said, we are using it to improve our products. Mm-hmm. Okay, but actually it is so that they know exactly what's going on. Mm-hmm. So everything is being recorded. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us this way before, that there are angels who are recording you. The earth is recording you. Everything, the mountains are recording you. The space is recording. There are time and space records all the time. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the earth did not weep when Pharaoh died, because that means the opposite is that the earth weeps when some people die. If there is a place where a person who is righteous is worshipping Allah every day. In your house you have a place where you pray, for example. Or in the masjid, everybody has a favorite place where they pray. When that place misses you because you passed away, it will weep that so-and-so used to come and worship Rabbul Alameen. That's why we are told when you go outside, even on the field, if there are only cows and sheep, you give adhan and then you pray. Because all of those mountains, those trees, everything will bear witness that this person can. Sometimes in these countries it's even better, because that's what I love to do. Mountains, I said, I bet maybe from the time Allah created this universe, nobody has called Allahu Akbar on this mountain. And how must that mountain feel? That somebody came finally, I am so fortunate that all these mountains, somebody came here and said, Allahu Akbar. And they will bear witness. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has all of these witnesses that are going to be brought in front of us. You know, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Kahf, that when the people will see, they'll say, what kind of book is this? It hasn't omitted the smallest thing or the largest thing. And everyone will see it. So we are going to see every single detail. And there is a significance of things that we consider little. You know, because we consider actions is bigger than words, generally. You know, that's our thinking. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, not about the actions, but about the words. Because he's also told us that there is nothing that gets more people into the Jahannam than the fruit of the tongue. And he held it with, like this, he's telling Mu'adh bin Jabal, who is this scholar of this ummah, the judge of this ummah. And then he says that a person may utter a word, one word, taking it like it's nothing. And because of that one word, this person could be dropped into the depths of Jahannam. And similarly, the opposite, a person may utter a word without thinking much of it, for which his darajat and... So one word can make that much difference. How about an action? How about all of our lives? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's treasures are unlimited. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَسَارِعُوا and run. And compete with what? Not for the dunya, but for the forgiveness of Allah and the Jannah, which is wider than the heavens and the earth. Okay. This is the race that we should always be in. That I should make my life valuable. What is my life? Life is every second that I'm going through. That's what it is. Which means our time has to be valuable. Everything that we spend without... I'm not saying sinning. But if you're not doing good, hasanat, then it's like a zero. That's a waste of life. So every moment should be spent in something that is positive in my life. And the way to look at that critically is that every day, take a muhasaba of your own life of that day. Somebody taught us that there are, like, think of it, you have a closet of 24 shelves. And you look in the shelf by shelf, what did I put? What tomorrow I'm going to present out of this shelf? What is it, an empty shelf? Or is there something that I'm ashamed of? Or is there something good? That every day I should see that in every shelf there is something good. Every shelf is every hour something should have been done. And it's how is that possible? Well, one subhanAllah is a tremendous thing said with consciousness of Allah, with really feeling it. One la ilaha illallah is just changes the scales this way. So it's not difficult, including in our sleep. You say, well, I sleep 6 hours or 7 hours. When you go to sleep in a state of wudu, you go to sleep reciting the Quran, the minimum you are supposed to, including the quls and ayatul kursi and the last ayahs of Surah Baqarah. And the du'as, the tasbih fatima, and you go to sleep with that. And you wake up, the first thing, you say the du'a of waking up. Then your night is counted. If you wake up, you say the du'a, the dhikr that you're supposed to. You dream, you do that. So you learn that your whole 6 hours becomes an ibadah without having made any effort. So every moment we can plan, and that's when you plan for yourself, I'm going to wake up, this is the first thing I'm going to do. Going to the bathroom, this is the first thing I'm going to do. This I'm going to enter. This is what all of these, what we consider the small sunnahs, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us how to be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even going to the bathroom, even coming out of the bathroom, even putting on your clothes, even taking off your shoes, which shoe comes off first, which comes on first, which comes off first, which foot you enter. So one person was visiting someone and he is very meticulous about the sunnah. So the person said, you know, become obsessed with this. You know, these little things. Every time I see you stop in front of the bathroom door, even go and you go with this foot and you come out with this foot. And, I mean, I know, but you know, this is too much. So his response was, he said, I don't know because of which sunnah Allah might enter me into Jannah. So I don't want to take a chance. We consider it's not a big deal. But you don't know which one Allah might like. Here also he is conscious of my Rasul. So we shouldn't undervalue anything. We should follow that as much as possible, as much as possible. And of course, very important in being steadfast, this ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُ is to have the companionship. Because one of the worst things that you can have is a bad companion who takes you away. So be in the company of people who are like-minded, who remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who advise you if you do, who will help you if you are falling behind, and who encourage you. So companionship is very important. Learning our deen. You know, what does our deen really teach? Looking within ourselves with criticism for our akhlaq. You know, what is it that I am lacking? And also looking at the positives of people. Not that, you know, this he looks, you know, he is like this. No. Look at, even if he's got 10 faults, you look at his good fault and say, I need to have that. And we should look, if you find a fault in someone, then critically afterwards, look within yourself. Do I have some components of it? Like many times I think about it, you know, I don't criticize some of these, you know, wealthy people and shuyukh, the other kind of sheikhs and the rulers, how much money they have, how much they are, you know, squandering. Because I think of it that maybe as a percentage, I'm squandering more from mine than they are. And I don't know if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested me with that kind of wealth, what I would do. So I don't know. Right now I think I would do this, but it can be very, it's a big test. Wealth is a big test, just like poverty is a test. So always looking at things with people and finding excuses for them. And looking within critical with your own self, that this is, I'm not generous. You know, if you go to like they have fundraisers, you know, this person has so much money, but he didn't give what he should have. How much do I have? What did I give? And that's my concern. You know, so all of those things, you know, how truthful am I? So and so lies. Am I absolutely truthful? Because as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that a believer cannot lie. And one time he was sitting, he was sort of reclining, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and one of the companions started mentioning mail kabair. One to the extent of saying, can a Muslim do this? He said, yes. He said, can he commit zina? He said, yes. Because we are all human beings, we can make mistakes. Then he said, can a believer lie? And he sat up. He said, never, never, never. About lies. And we take it so lightly, you know, just for our... So we have to look at all of these things. You know? Siddiq didn't become Siddiq just as a title. He was a Siddiq in every situation. So we have him as a role model, alayhi salam. I mean, radiallahu anhu. We have to look at all of those qualities, especially the ones that we don't have in our akhlaq. And the ones we give ourselves pass grade, we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah. And all of this requires connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of humility, of a servant and the master. And that is dua, which is mukhul ibadah. This is the end. Always in dua, especially in special circumstances, like after your fard salah, at the time of tahajjud, Ramadan is coming, Laylatul Qadr, all of the last 10 nights, there are so many opportunities, and every day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has Yawmul Jumu'ah. Making dua humbly, talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not the dua like a formal something that we have memorized and we finish and talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be sincere. Ya Allah, this is who I am, and you know me better than this is what I want to be. One comprehensive meaning of the dua, the best dua that a person could ask, is, Ya Allah, you make me what you would like me to be. Covers everything. You make me, because you are the only one who can. There is no tawfiq from anyone. And even if you give me tawfiq, I may still fall. You are the one who is going to give me istiqam. So you make me who you want me to be. Who you want, not what I want. Who you want me to be. Let me die in that state and let me meet you in that state. So we should keep ourselves humble, whatever, and showing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shukr every day, every day. The Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that, you know, there is gratitude due on all your joints in the body and everything. Every breath you take, there is gratitude due. You know, every time your eyes wake up, and they blink, everything, because it's working, we don't realize it. It's when it doesn't work that we think of these things. That we should always be in shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma ma amsa bi ni'matin. Ram Sabi Namatin. What is the law? Just this one dua at least acknowledges all of those as a general, that you fulfill that. And then if you go into a particular, every time you see something, you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you recognize him. Every time you remember him, you should thank him that, Ya Allah, you made me remember you. Because what does that mean? You remembered Allah. You know what that really means? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. And do you know, at this moment, you and I are being mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that elite company of those angels. If there was no reward at all for dhikr, this is more than anything. Allah. So you can make a claim, I know when Allah remembers me. How can you make such a great claim? I remember him right now. I know he's remembering me. This is what he said. Allah. So it's very, very important to always be remembering and thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking him to use us for the service of his deen. Everyone has different capacities in whatever we can do, and helping each other and working together, because this is an ummah. And you cannot work together as long as you are seeing each other's faults. Okay. You work together, taking their hand, being gentle. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the most gentle. And that is the quality of hilm and afu and forgiveness and lutf, as al-latif. These are the divine attributes that we need to have at our level. That, you know, every time somebody wrongs us, once, twice, that's it, we've had. How many times have we wronged Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to take people to task for what they do, he would not leave one dabba, one creature on the earth, he would finish everything. But this is his. We should be gentle like that. Even with people who are making mistakes. Rasulullah said, people are urinating in the masjid, people are doing this, they're grabbing him by the neck. And he's giving them. So, remember this from the lessons of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life, that we have that example. And also do dua for each other. Whatever you do, good dua for someone else, there are angels who are doing mithla dhalik, doing dua, and the same for you. So, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among his righteous and his chosen people, and that we always are in remembrance of him. And that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us and give us ikhlas that we do this not for any recognition, not that we remain among the unknown and unnamed people of this, who work for his deen, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses us till our last breaths and he accepts us, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spread khair for this ummah and take us out of these challenges and make things better for us and bring us back to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Jazakumullah.